prayers according to this hymn. Just pray out one sentence. Amen. Amen.
Don't you want to know your God?
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we want to know our God.
Amen.
And Lord, I just want to know what's on your heart.
Amen.
Lord, I want to know what's in your heart for me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, you died for the church, your bride.
Amen.
Thank you, it was for her.
Amen.
Lord, your masterpiece, your cup, your part.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, it's a privilege to satisfy you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She is the joy deep in his
heart. Amen.
Amen.
Just one more time. It was for her the church is bright. It was for her willingly he died. Amen. So, we've had, 9.5 days or something of the summer school? We're coming to the close. Have you seen the church?
Amen.
Is the church precious to you?
Amen.
As precious as it is to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the church.
Amen.
I hope that we could be very touched by the Lord to see how important the church is in God's economy, and how important the church is to the Lord to fulfill his purpose, and then that can be imparted into us, that we would have a real appreciation and love for the church.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, you should love the church.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Do you love the church?
Amen.
We should love the church as the Lord loves the church. Now, we're coming to session 14 in our outline packet on page 39 on our need to serve for the building up of the church. And I'd like to start in this way. The church is God's testimony. Write this down. The church is the testimony of God. It's the expression of God. And in the Old Testament, I think we saw a little bit of this with the diagram of the tabernacle. In the center of the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, there was the ark. You remember that? And it was 3 by 5 cubits and something like this. And inside the ark, there were 3 items. Who knows what they were? What? The budded rod, the hidden manna, the golden pot with the hidden manna, and the third item, the tablets of the testimony. The tablets of the testimony. So this was called the Ark of the Testimony. And that was God's testimony in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle. And you know, the tabernacle was a tent, and I think you all know this. God dwelt there. And his people could come and meet him there. But there were times when God wanted to move. So, you know, all the priests and the Levites would pack up the tabernacle. They had a way to do that. Pack it all up and, you know, get ready to. And they would move it. And they had to, at the beginning, the front of this procession, to move the tabernacle, they had to carry the Ark of the Testimony. Should this be on the bottom? I forget. It should be on the bottom. Okay. They had to carry the Ark of the Testimony. And it was very important that the priests carried the Ark of the Testimony. And there were poles that ran along the sides. And then I assume it was 4 or 8 priests would carry the Ark of the Testimony. And the entire 2 million of them, or however many million of the children of Israel, with all the tabernacle would follow. And then when the pillar of cloud stopped, then that's where they were going to set up the tabernacle. They would set it up, and they would put the Ark of the Testimony in there. Now, I'm using this little example to try to get this point to you. That is, okay, so they had to carry the Ark of the Testimony on their shoulders. Write that down. They had to carry the Ark of the Testimony on their shoulders. And when I began to serve the young people, and we were being trained by some of the brothers in New York, especially Brother Benjamin, and Ricky and I were there with him, one night he asked us this question: what is the goal of the young people's work? What is the goal for the young people's meeting? What do you intend to do? What is your goal? And I didn't say a word. I didn't know what the goal was. But he mentioned that, you know, you will only reach your goal. You generally do not go beyond your goal. If your goal is to help the young people to stay out of trouble on Saturday night and be at the hall and sing some hymns, then you will reach that goal. And once you reach it, you'll be satisfied. That's the goal. He said, is that your goal? We all said, no, that's not our goal. He said, the goal of our young people's service is that one day they would bear God's testimony. Write that down. One day you will bear God's testimony. And so we're trying to, laboring to, endeavoring to raise you up so that you would grow in life, so that you would be constituted with the truth, so that you would be shepherded to enjoy the Lord and to be filled with the Lord and to grow in the Lord, that one day you would bear God's testimony. Amen. Thank you. This is our goal. This is our burden. And tonight, this message has a lot to do with that, our need to serve for the building up of the church. Okay? Because we want you, one day, you will bear the testimony of Jesus. There will be a time. I'm not going to be here. Brother Timothy, we're not going to be here. We're already, you know, in our older age. There will be a time. Maybe Ricky will make it till the Lord comes back. I don't know. But there will be a time when the older brothers are not going to be here anymore. And you brothers are going to be older. Amen. And you sisters are going to be older. And you need to bear the testimony. And there's this phrase in this outline which we'll get to, but I'm going to mention it to you now to write it down. You need to bear the responsibility in the church life. What does it mean to bear the testimony? That means you bear the responsibility that in the church life, the church meetings express God. That in the church life, we are God's expression. We are manifesting God to all those around us. And then when people come to our meeting, they should see God. And they should fall down and say, God is really among you. That's what 1 Corinthians talks about, right? When we all are prophesying, we all are ministering life to one another in the church meetings, what's happening? God is expressed. Amen. The glory of God is expressed. And that is His testimony. The Old Testament is the type. But the reality is the church of God, is God's testimony, is God's manifestation. So we hope that, and this is our prayer for you and our labor for you, that you will grow up, that you will start to bear responsibility in the church life. And brothers and sisters, you are not too young to bear responsibility in the church life. Write this down. You're not too young. You think about it. In your high school, whether you're a freshman, whether you're a junior or a senior, in your high school, you have a lot of responsibilities. You have assignments that are group assignments. You have to coordinate with people and do research papers and reports. You have to do PowerPoint presentations. You have to do all kinds of things, and you have to do it on your own. You have to bear that responsibility. Am I right? Amen or amen?
Amen.
You bear a lot of responsibility. But then you come to the church meeting, and you feel like you're just a little kid here, and you know, and Brother Dennis and Brother Sam are going to take care of it. No, You need to bear the responsibility in the church life. You need to rise up. Take action. Right? Are we here this morning? Great resolutions in heart. Give yourself to the Lord for His testimony. And that's what that is the burden of this outline for us tonight, is that we would be those who rise up and who bear the testimony of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let's read the title of this message together. Our need to serve for the building up of the church. To build the church, we need to serve. We can serve in the church life. And there are several areas that we're going to talk about tonight in this matter. And we've seen already in our summer school that we are all priests. And priests are priests. Being part of the priesthood is a matter of service. The priests in the Old Testament would serve the Lord. And God's desire in the New Testament is no different. He wants a body of priests, a priesthood that will serve Him faithfully, that will give themselves to serve the Lord. So this outline is on this matter of service. Brothers, read Romans 1. In Matthew 16, 18, the Lord spoke the greatest prophecy in the Bible, I will build my church. The Lord spoke this in Matthew 16, 18. This is the greatest prophecy. How is He building the church? He doesn't build it directly. He is building the church through you and I. He is building the church through our growing in life and our learning to serve in the church life and bear responsibility in the church life. He is building the church by our preaching the gospel, by our raising up the new ones and shepherding them and taking care of them. He is building His church. And mainly, write this down, by our growing in life. And there's nothing that causes us to grow more than serving in the church life. We just had a little, wonderful little time with all the TAs. How many did you say we had, Timothy? 40? 46 TAs together during your small group time. That's why they weren't in your small groups. They were with us up in Building E, giving their testimony about their service. Some of them, this is the first time they served in the summer school. Some of them, it was their fourth time they served in the summer school. But anyway, many, many very encouraging testimonies. And listen, brothers and sisters, it's not easy to serve you. Some of you are tough cases. And we heard about them. This afternoon we heard about them. Some of you are tough. And we heard about some of the junior high, maybe a little tougher. Oh. But I don't know. We're all tough cases, actually. We're all fallen sinners, you know. But anyway, but their testimony was how much they were encouraged by you, how much they were encouraged by each other and serving together in oneness with the other serving ones, and how much the Lord has gained in them through serving. And this is one of the major points in this outline. We grow a lot by serving.
Amen.
We need to serve. We need to serve. Now, I'd like to read a few verses with you. Revelation 7, 15. Can you turn to that? You can write that down. It's not in your outline. This is kind of the little intro. 15. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. How about we read it nice and strong? Because of this, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. And He who sits upon the throne will tabernacle. Did you know that you will serve God for eternity? Let's read it again. Because of this, They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple. And He who sits upon the throne will tabernacle. Now go to chapter 22, last chapter in the New Testament. Verse 3. This is the blessing of God's redeemed in eternity. Altogether. And there will no longer be a curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His slaves will serve. We will serve God for eternity. There is a very good message by Brother Nee. And I'm going to mess up the title probably, but it's something like this. We serve by serving. Or we learn to serve by serving. And his point in this message is, our service to the Lord is not today. Our service to the Lord is in eternity. We will serve our God for eternity. And today, listen, we're in an internship. We are learning to serve. This is an internship. This is where you learn how to serve. And he mentions in this message, it's very good, I hope you could read it. He mentions in this, and the way to learn how to serve is to serve. You serve, you learn to serve by serving, right? You learn by doing it. There's not a manual. You don't read the textbook and figure it out and, you know, take the course, how to serve the Lord. No, you learn by serving. And you know many, and you know what that means? You learn by making a lot of mistakes usually. We serve and we make mistakes and we learn. And we serve and we get desperate because it's not easy. So we pray much more than we did last week because we're serving. Right, TAs? Amen or amen?
Amen.
We're desperate to pray for you because we have two small groups today. We want you to get something. And by that kind of prayer and that kind of desperate even prayer together, what's happening? We who are serving you are growing in life. We're gaining more of the Lord. And we're learning. We try something, it doesn't work. We come back, it didn't work. What are we going to do? And then we try, pray and be desperate, find something else, some way to help you to see the vision of the church. How do we serve? By serving. How do we learn to serve? By serving. So our life on the earth is to learn how to serve. Because one day we will be serving Him for eternity. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means we all need to be serving in the church. Because we're learning. We're in an internship. And when we bring the new ones in, we preach the gospel to them and bring them in, we should bring them into the service groups. Because that's where they're going to learn to serve the Lord for eternity. So don't think, oh yeah, I love the church life, I love to come to the meeting, but I'm not going to serve. If you're not going to serve, if you don't learn to serve now, you won't be able to serve Him in eternity. You have to learn to serve now. And the sooner you start, the better off you are. The more you'll learn, the more you will grow, the more you will go on. So today is our, praise the Lord, we're in an internship. Amen. You know, for the college students, they know this. For you high schoolers, you probably already know this too. Internships are very important, right? Very important. And many of the college students in their sophomore year before their junior year is over, they're desperate to get an internship. Because often in that field, that internship after junior year could work out to be a job after senior year. If they like you and, you know, and you do a good job that summer, they are looking for new employees. They really are. So they interview you in your junior year, and they say, okay, we're going to take these, I don't know how many interns in our company, and then they evaluate you when you're there. Of course, you know, you may not realize all that, but, you know, they're watching. They're checking. And then they may decide on hiring a few of you after the senior year. So those internships are important. But much more important than that is this internship. We have to learn how to serve the Lord now by serving. We have to learn how to serve. Now, this outline is very simply constructed and very well constructed, I think. In Romans 2, you have 3 points, A, B, and C. And then A is Romans 3, B is Romans 4, and C is Romans 5. They're broken out into more detail. So let's read Romans 2 together, then brothers A, sisters B, and brothers, and all together on C. Romans 2. We can participate in the building up of the church in a practical way by A. Sisters. All together. Attending the small group meetings. Okay. First of all, circle or underline this word participate. We can participate, actively participate in the building up of the church in a practical way by serving. And A is by serving or functioning in the meetings. And I don't know if all of us think about the meetings this way. But in our brother's ministry, he says the first service in the church life is the meeting, to go to the meeting. Actually, many Christians call the meeting a service. But maybe our understanding, at least when I was growing up, was different than serving, you know. But this is right. When we come to the meeting, we're coming to serve the Lord. Just your being in the meeting is a service to God. You're presenting your bodies to this meeting as a living sacrifice. When you open your mouth to pray, when you go to the Lord's table meeting and you say, "Thank you, Lord, for this table," you are serving God.
Amen.
That is a service. You're functioning in the church meetings. And later on in this outline, he mentions every one of us, all of you, including all of us, but all of us, including you, are adults in the church life and need to bear the responsibility to serve in the church meeting. You're no longer children. Don't even think of yourself as young people. Just go to the meeting. You are a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're an adult. You're a member of the body of Christ. And your function is needed. And your portion is necessary. We covered this earlier in this week, right? Everyone is indispensable. Every member is indispensable in the body. We all need your portion. We all need you to serve. And the first area to serve is in the church meetings. And then the second area is in the practical services of the church. And we have several that we want to touch in this outline. And I think a lot of you have been serving practically here in the summer school, right? Who was on cleaning service today? Raise your hand. You were serving practically on the cleaning, right? And some are on the preparation for the meals, and some are on the audio, visual service. We have a lot of opportunity to serve in the church life. This is one thing I think that was a little bit of a surprise to me, that some of the TAs have 6 services. That's a lot of service. Probably they have cleaning, and then the food, and then you're a house coordinator, and you're on music, and you know. Some are helping with registration. I don't know how you get 6, but anyway, 6 services. It's a lot. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord, bless those who have so many services that you would gain more of the Lord.
Amen.
Gain more of Christ. And then another area of our participation in this church life is the small group meetings. Wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. The small meetings are a big part of the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We need to be in a small group. We need to be a part of a small group, and that should become our small group. We should feel very possessive about it.
Yeah.
Not to exclude anybody, but you know, we should feel like this is my small group. If I'm not there, there's going to be a shortage. I need to be there. Okay. Okay, let's read 3 together. We should learn to function in the meetings of the church. The young people should begin to bear some responsibility in their spiritual family. Here's that phrase. Underline it. You need to bear some responsibility in your spiritual family. How many of you have responsibilities in your home, in your family at home? How many? We all have. We have responsibility. And we should feel the same way in our church. We are a family of God, right? And in the family of God, we should bear some responsibility. Okay, A, altogether. The young people should attend the regular meetings of the church. At a minimum, they should not miss the bread-breaking meeting and the fellowship meeting of the church, and attend the young people's meeting. Let's open to Hebrews 10. Is that a memory verse? No. Was it a memory verse earlier? Yeah. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let's read that together. Amen. So many of you may have memorized verse 25, so you can recite it when we get there, right? Verse 24. And let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works, as the custom some is, but and so much the more as you see the day drawing. We should not abandon the meetings, our assembling together, but we should encourage one another and exhort one another. Let's go to the meeting. And some of you gave some testimonies in this week about, you know, well, you didn't know whether you should go or not. And someone called you and said, hey, brother, I'm going to come and pick you up. Let's go to the meeting. And that encouraged you. So, yes, we came to the meeting together. That's very important. We should encourage one another. Even, what does it say? Exhort one another. Let's go to the meeting. Let's go to the meeting. We can gain more of the Lord. And our coming to the meeting in itself is a service. And we should not abandon our assembling together. You know, if you miss the meeting this week, and then next week something happens, and maybe you can't go, no transportation, you miss the meeting twice in a row, and then the following week you're just really tired, you miss the meeting, already by that time you've got a habit of missing the meeting. You've developed a habit of missing the meeting. That's not good. We should be exercised to come to the meeting, especially to the Lord's table meeting. And I don't know how many of the churches have a fellowship meeting. We have a fellowship meeting. In the church in New York City, we have a fellowship meeting. And we're covering whatever the church is covering that week, in addition to the prophesying meeting. And then most of us would have a young people's meeting. And we should definitely be at the young people's meeting. We should tell the Lord, you know, even when you get to college, your schedule is going to be much tighter. You'll have a lot more work. But it's good to, you know, promise the Lord. Make a deal with the Lord. Lord, I want to at least make the Lord's table meeting and the college meeting, if there's one on your campus, or the young people's meeting, if there's not a college meeting on your campus. You know, and then if you have enough time, you should tell the Lord, and I want to be in the prayer meeting. And we've heard many testimonies of many college students. They make this kind of a vow, and they try to keep it. They're faithful to the Lord, and the Lord is faithful to them, and their grades are very good. Very good. Because you don't waste time. You budget your time. And you still take out an hour, hour and a half for the prayer meeting. You still take out a couple of hours on the Lord's Day morning. I mean, come on, we're not going to study on the Lord's Day. We're going to sleep in if we don't go to the meeting. So we should, you know, we should set aside these meetings and make a vow to the Lord that we would be in the meeting. Amen. Okay, brothers, B. Juan mentioned this matter of spectators, right? We're not here watching other people enjoying the Lord. That is not being in the meeting. We need to participate, to enjoy the Lord. We need to actively be involved. You know, it's like when I came in after the lunchtime and I saw you all out on the fields. There was a tremendous volleyball game going on. There was soccer over here. There was basketball there. There was an ultimate game going on. You were all participating. All participating. Now, there may be a few of us older ones who were spectating, but most of you were participating, right? It's much more enjoyable to participate. And in the church meetings, we should all participate. Don't just sit back and listen to others pray and sing. And, you know, no, we should participate, right? We should open our mouths and praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, and maybe share something if the Lord touches us. But we should be not act as if we're guests, right? This is our meeting. And we shouldn't wait for others to function. We should dive in and function ourselves. That's the best meeting. Really the best meeting. Amen. See, sisters. Okay, let's change they to we. Read it again. When in the meeting, we should try our best to release our spirit. In the church, we are adults, and we must bear responsibility. We need to exercise our spirit. Amen. Call on the Lord to enjoy the Lord. When the brothers say, let's read this verse, exercise your spirit to read it. And the more we exercise our spirit, the more life and the level of life in the meeting rises and goes up. And the more life is dispensed into the saints. We are directly responsible for that level of life. The more we exercise, the more life there is in the meeting. Amen. Brothers, one, the young saints must bear this responsibility. When they come to a meeting, they should open their mouth and release their spirit. They should give testimonies, sing hymns, and give praises. Let's look at Ephesians 5. This is a very good verse. A few verses here. Three verses. Third to Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Amen. Altogether. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father. We need to be filled in spirit. How? These verses say, by speaking to one another. Amen. In what? Psalms and? Hymns. And?
Spiritual.
We can use the hymns and the psalms and the spiritual songs to speak to one another. You know, in the church life, we declare them a lot. That's good. But even more so, we can speak to one another according to the content of the songs and hymns. This afternoon when we went up to the serving ones, the TA meeting where all the TAs were there gathered together, and we started to pray, and spontaneously we just started to sing. Some started a song and then we just kept singing. And out of the singing there was a lot of praising and speaking according to that song. And then someone started another song. And there was more singing and more praising. And how long did we go on, Daniel? I don't know. 45 minutes or so? We had a meeting of just singing and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It was awesome. It was awesome. You know, sometimes in the church life, we sing hymns to get somewhere. But there should be times when we sing hymns and that is where we want to get.
Amen.
Do you understand my crazy language here? The point is to sing and to praise, and to speak to one another according to the hymn. That is the meeting. It's not that we're going to sing and get ready for Brother Dennis to give this terrible message. That's not the point. The point sometimes should just be, we're just going to enjoy the Lord by singing. And this went on. It was really good. Did you enjoy that? It was really good. And after, I think, 3 or 4 songs, then, you know, some of the brothers started looking through the, you know how we do in the hymn, in the meeting, like we're kind of looking for the hymn, you know. And I said, come on, brothers, none of the hymns we sang yet were by looking for them through the hymns. You know the hymns. You have something in your heart. Just sing something from your... Oh, and then somebody sang another one, and then we sang another one. It was really good. It was really, really good. And, you know, I mean, you can't engineer these kinds of things, but the point is that this really does strengthen our spirit, releases our spirit when we are singing and psalming and speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we can do that. At the Lord's table meeting, we can do that, right? We can do that in the young people's meeting. We can do that. It's a very good way to participate and to function in the meeting, to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. Let's all read 2 together. There is a rich source, a living and fresh supply within all the young people. They should not rely on listening to messages, but rather exercise to function more. And in 1 Corinthians 14, man, we need to open to these verses. Are these the memory verses? Yeah. Well, 12 and 31. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at these verses. Verse 24 and 26. Let's read 24 through 26 because it mentions, in verse 25, I've mentioned something about this in the church meeting. Okay? But if all prophesy and some unbeliever or unlearned person enters, he is convicted by all, he is examined by all, the secrets of his heart become manifest, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring, and indeed, God is among you. What then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation.
Has a tongue, has an interpretation.
Let all things be done
for building up.
The main verse is 26. Each one has. Each one has. And in verse 24, when all are prophesying, and an unlearned one or an unbeliever comes in, he will fall on his face because you are speaking God to one another. And, you know, some unbeliever on the street comes in, they've never seen people gathered together speaking God to one another. They will fall down and say, God is among you. We've had that happen in the church meetings. Why? Because each one of us has Christ.
Amen.
You have a portion of Christ. Don't think you don't have. You have Christ. And we saw earlier, well, just last couple of days, you know, you were born into the church and you can't be unborn. You're a member of the church for eternity because you have the life of God. You have. Each one has something. And according to our measure, we should function according to that measure. Now, I'd like to read some verses in Hebrews 12 at this point before we go on to the practical service. And this is related to your bearing the testimony of Jesus. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Amen. Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking away unto Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, we are in a race. Write this down. We are in a long distance race. Shepherd, give me that baton. We are in a relay race that is a long distance race. And there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. They have run this race before us. And they have passed on the burden of the church to us. And it's like a relay race. You know, you have a baton. And you run a lap and you have to pass it on to the next person. Maybe I could have some brothers come up here. Sam, Kim, maybe you can come up. Yeah? Chia? Jonathan? Yeah, come on up. We're going to do a little demonstration here. We're going to run a relay race. Okay? Yeah, come on up. Come on up. So in a relay race, usually there are four runners, right? And the first one does the first lap, and then as he's finishing that lap, the next one is getting ready. But for a period of time, they have to run together, right? He starts to run as I'm coming around, and he's waiting for the baton, right? And I have to pass it on. So this is very important. Think about this. There is a period of time where both of them are running together. And then they come around, and the next one does the same, okay? So, Chia, you'll be leg three, and you'll be the last leg. So you get over here, okay? Get over here. So I'm running my lap. I'm running my lap. Oh, I got to go. Then when I get around to Sam, wait. You got to wait for me to finish, right? Did you ever run a relay race? You never ran one. Oh. I got to get some runners up here, okay? You wait, and as I'm coming, you got to start to go, right? Okay, so I'm finishing the first lap, running the first lap, and when I get there, Sam's got to start going. Sam, you gotta go. No, go, yeah, go, Sam, go. No, you gotta come, Chia. Oh no, you're too late, Chia, you're too late. No. We gotta do it again. Did you ever run a relay race? Oh, okay. You've got to start before he, you know, because you don't want to waste the time. You don't want this baton to stop moving. So you got to be, you know how to do this, right? Okay, good. You're still four. Okay, so I'm ready. And then Sam's going, okay, good. Go, Sam, go. Come on, Chia, go. Yeah! There you go, stay here. Very good. This is a picture of the church life. We brothers have to pass the baton on to you. We got to pass it on to Sam. He's got to pass it on to Chia. Chia's got to pass it on to John. This is what we're doing. We are in this race together. It's not a, you know, it's not one is going to win and the others aren't going to win. We are all going to win. We are running the race of the universe, right? And to do this, we have to pass on. What we're doing is we're passing on the testimony to you. And we're passing on the service in the church to you. But there is a time when we're together, right? We're running together. And then we're passing it off to you. And there's a time when he's running together. And he's teaching Chia how to serve. And then Chia's going to teach Jonathan. We're all doing this together. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. We are running this race together. And we have to learn. We have to learn to serve with others. We're running together, serving together. And then eventually, they pass that on to you. And you've got to pick up some other brothers and sisters and teach them how to serve. Need to serve with them and bring others into the service. This is what we're doing in the church life. This is how we are passing on. This is how we are being trained to what? Bear the testimony of Jesus. We don't know how to bear it. I don't know how to bear it. But I have to learn from the brothers before me. And they're teaching us and training us and perfecting us. Right? This is Ephesians 4. They're perfecting us to do what they do. And eventually passing on the baton to us. So this is very precious. Okay. Now, so the first thing is the meetings. We need to learn how to function, how to take care of the meetings, how to minister life to one another in the meetings. What do we hear today from the brothers, that the young people need to learn how to carry the death out of the meetings. Right? That's a very important function. Sometimes death just comes in somehow, some way, by something. And those who are strong and young, who love the word, you just need to carry that death out. How do you do that? By ministering life. The resurrection life overcomes the death. So we need to learn how to do that. Now, the second area is the practical services in the church life. And this is a very important area. Okay? Let's read four together. The young people should endeavor to enter into the practice of the church life, children's work, and the practical service. You know, Romans 12:1 says that we need to present our bodies, right? A living sacrifice. And then it talks about different kinds of services in verses 4 through 8. You have the references there. And then verse 11, that we need to serve burning in spirit, right? Serving the Lord. So Romans 12 has a lot to do with service. First of all, we present our bodies. And second of all, there are different kinds of functions, different kinds of services in the church. And then last of all, wherever we are serving and however we are serving, it is by being burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know how to impress you with this matter of the children's service. The children's service is probably the most important service in the church life. Write that down. And when we brothers went to Taipei to visit the brothers there, and they were spending time with us to help us to learn how to administrate a larger church. They have quite a large church in Taipei, one church in the city of Taipei. And they have 247 elders or something. They have 74 meeting halls. They have quite a large, 18,000 saints active on the Lord's Day in the church there, in all the halls and in the various districts. And they learned from Brother Lee that the children's work is the big gospel. Now, this is some kind of a funny English translation of, I don't know what the Chinese phrase is. It's the important gospel. You know, and I've heard this before years ago, and I didn't understand it. I kept thinking, what are you talking about? We're not going to baptize five-year-olds, you know, and get them saved. That's not the point. The point is that when you serve the children, especially in the neighborhood children's meeting, and you gather them together with our kids, some of the neighborhood kids, you are contacting families. Write this down. You're contacting families. Because that four-year-old or that six-year-old, maybe you have the brother and sister, one is six and one is four. You have those two kids with your kid, you know, with the young couple's kids in the church life, and they come on a Saturday and they have a neighborhood children's meeting. You are contacting a family. That's the big gospel. We go on the campus and we labor and we labor, and we get one of our classmates to get saved and baptized this semester, come into the church life. What a glory to the Lord. Amen. That's tremendous. But if you would labor in the neighborhood children's meeting and help the sisters to have, you know, get the snack and sing a song and a little story and do a craft and make those kids happy, they want to come every week to that neighborhood. Those kids love that children's meeting. And then their parents are so happy. You know, we have here in Rosendale, we had the full-time trainees come in the winter to come and preach the gospel in the churches upstate here. So we went to Albany, and we went to Stony Brook, we went to Albany, and then we went to Rosendale with the trainees, and we went to a children's meeting, a neighborhood children's meeting. Listen to this. They had 14 families, not in the church life, participating in this children's meeting. 14 families. They weren't all there that day. I think there were 11 or 12 of the families were there. And a couple of them, you know, they just love that children's meeting and they love the way the sisters and brothers are taking care of them. And so they go and drop their kids off and go shopping, go grocery shopping, come back later and pick them up because they trust us with their children. And the kids have such a good time. And I was there and I met, there were, I think, 9 families in the, you know, parents there. Some looked like grandparents with parents there, you know, with these kids. And, you know, so we're having fellowship and the kids are doing their craft when we got in. And they were all busy and very happy and doing their craft in the dining room. And then the sisters brought them into the living room to sing some songs. And they had a lesson about, I don't know, I think it was keeping your room neat or something. You know, there was, I mean, it was a character, you know, they had a couple of songs about, you know, putting your shoes away. And I don't remember exactly. But, you know, it was, anyway, and the kids started to sing. And all those 9 parents, sets of parents, made a beeline for the living room. Parents love to hear their children sing. They love it. And they were all there just like, I mean, they were just so happy, so happy. And Brother Lee says in some of his writing about this, he says, when you go to a new home, you know, when you go visit somebody in their home, you know, like a gospel friend or something, you go to their home, if they have children, he said, right away, go to the children and teach them a little song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And teach them a little song. And then say, okay, let's sing it. And they sing it together. You'll see the parents, they are so happy. They're happy to hear their kids sing. They're happy. You're shepherding the parents by teaching the kids a little song. You're really shepherding the parents. Think about it. This is the big gospel. It's not this couple to a gospel meeting. They may not come to a gospel meeting right away. But you're shepherding them and you're ministering to them by taking care of their children, especially in the neighborhood children's meeting. So when I saw that, I was, forget about it. I'm more than convinced to see that and to see those parents. And we talked to them. We talked about the Lord. Some of them are believers. Some of them are nominal. Some of them are open. But they keep coming back. Keep coming back for that neighborhood children's meeting because their children love it. And their children want to come back. And we were in New Jersey having a little fellowship about the children's work a number of years ago. And that year was, I think, the second or third year of the church in Piscataway. And I think the church at that time, they had about 80 saints. And the leading brothers had dinner with us, and we had a dinner break. And he was telling us that they had a 20% increase that year, from 80 saints to 100 saints. 20% increase. And they said, where did they come from? You know, they were reviewing the situation. They said, where did it come from? And they looked back, and they found out all 20 of those new ones came from the children's meeting. 10 families came from the children's meeting. So 20 adults were added to the church. And now the children are in the church life. Probably, I don't know, 30 children maybe, if they have 1.5 kids each. You know, I don't know, at least 30 probably, maybe 40 kids. So you not only added 20 adults, you added another 15 or 18 children to the church. And they will grow up. And they will get saved when they're, you know, in 5th grade or in 6th grade, they will get saved and they will be added to the church. So that is what Brother Lee's talking about. It's the big gospel. And they may be, those children then, they are seeds of the gospel in their middle school, and they may bring in a friend in middle school or in high school. That's more, right? And the couple that came in, they have brothers and sisters and they have neighbors and they may bring them. So you can see how this is really growing. This is a tremendous service. Young people, I hope that you all would go to the Lord. Lord, what about my serving the children? Get some burden to serve the children. You may receive some burden from the Lord to serve the children. And not just on the Lord's Day, but find out, is there a neighborhood children's meeting nearby? If not, go fellowship with some of these young couples that are in your locality who have, you know, children early age, preschool, early grade school, fellowship with them. Maybe they'll start one, and you can participate in that and help to supply them for that. It would be very, very profitable. This would be a great service to the church wherever we are. Okay, let's read through the outline. I think I've covered the burden. I just want to read through it. You'll see some of the things here. How about Sisters A, Brothers 1, Sisters 2. We'll just alternate and read. We'll read A and B and all the small points, and then we'll stop before C. Okay, sisters. Brothers, if children are added each year, they will become gospel seeds when they graduate from elementary school and enter into junior high school. When they finish high school, they will be gospel seeds in college. As this cycle is repeated, many people will be gained. We'll underline that. The future of the churches will be unlimited. When I came into the church life in New York, all of our manpower was on the children and the young people. All of the manpower. Why? Because the brothers realized this is where the church will bear the fruit. Brother Lee said, our increase should be 50% from our own kids and 50% from the Gentile, you know, the gospel, from the unbelievers. Should be 50%. And you look at Noah's household, right? Noah and his wife had how many sons? Three. Noah and his wife had how many sons?
Three.
And they had how many wives?
Three.
Oh, wait, one each.
One each, right, yeah. One each. Three. And when the flood came, how many souls entered into the ark?
Eight.
Eight. Noah and his wife, and the three sons and their wives. And the wives came through the gospel. So Noah's increase was half from his own family, from the children. Maybe we could put it this way, from the children in the church, and half from the gospel. They were the gospel seeds, and they married them. So it's very scriptural. 50% from the world, 50% from our own kids. This is the future of the church will be unlimited. Okay, where are we? Is it brothers or sisters for one? Brothers, go. Sisters. Underline this point, the double responsibility. Young people, you need to bear responsibility in the church life. And Brother Lee says here, this is a quote, we should bear a double responsibility. We should be open to our classmates, to share the gospel with them, to share our testimony with them, that some could be saved from our high school, eventually from our colleges. But we also should bear this responsibility to care for the children in the church. Young people, any of you how many of you have served children so already? Many, many of you. Don't they love you? Right? Do they love you? Some say no, huh? I think they all love you. They love you. They love you. They look up to you. You're a pattern to them. They want to be like you. My kids were this way. When the young people would come over, oh, they all look up to them. They want to be like them. This is a very important service in the church life. I hope you continue this service. Okay, then let's read C together. As energy and time allow, the young people should also take part in other miscellaneous services of the church. For example, they can serve in ushering, in the building business office, or in cleaning. We rejoice to see that many services in the church are being borne by the young saints. In these services, the young saints are spontaneously blended into the church life through the practical coordination and fellowship with saints of all ages, including their peers. This will help them greatly to grow in life. In addition to the children's work, brothers and sisters, we should all endeavor to have some other practical service. I don't know how the cleaning gets done in your locality, but in many localities, Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, there's a time when the saints come to the hall or come to the meeting place to prepare it for the Lord's Day. Clean the hall. I hope that you would be involved in that. For too many years, we had 70 and 80-year-old sisters cleaning the bathroom on Saturday, and all of our young people are home watching cartoons. Now you don't do that. You're at home on the internet or somewhere, or still sleeping. No, we should bear some responsibility in the practical services of the church. Come to clean. Come to usher. I talked about this, you know, to see the young brothers, the high schoolers, ushering at the front door, wearing a tie and all, you know, looking sharp, man. When a new one comes or when the saints come and they see you like this, you have no idea how much that encourages them. That ministers life to them just by your saying, good morning, praise the Lord, open the door. That's enough. They're happy. Wow, you look nice today, you know. It's good to see the young people ushering. And it's even more life-giving to see the young people cleaning the bathrooms, cleaning the floors, vacuuming, cleaning the hall. And then, you know, it's practical. Even doing some maintenance, painting and doing some repairs. Brothers, you learn a lot. If you get with the brothers who do the maintenance in your locality, you can learn a lot of very useful skills that will help you the rest of your life. When you have your own apartment, when you have your own home, right? You need to learn some practical things, and you can learn them from the saints. But the most important benefit is in this phrase. The young saints, underline this, are spontaneously blended into the church life. Spontaneously blended in. Through the practical coordination, when you're serving, you coordinate, you pray, and you get blent with these saints. And then you fellowship. How are you going to carry out this? Whether the children's service or the ushering service, or you get blended in through the coordination and fellowship with saints that are older than you, some with saints that are younger than you. You get blended in with saints of all ages. This is the building up of the body of Christ. And this will benefit you, and this will help you to grow in life and manifest your function. This is very practical, saints. Amen. Let's read 5 together. We should endeavor to enter into the practice of the church life through the homes. The small group becomes our practical church altogether, A and B. At the very beginning, the way created by the Holy Spirit and ordained by God was to meet in two ways, the congregational way and in the home way. Actually, the church life will be carried out practically in the group meeting. It is important to have our own group meeting, which can be considered as our own assembly. Always there were these two wings, the congregational meeting, the big meeting, and the small meeting in the homes. And much of the church life and the building of the church life is carried out in the small groups, in the homes. So, was it Juan who wrote up here saying, invite yourself to the saints' homes. Amen. Do it. Get into the saints' homes. You know, when we first moved from Manhattan to Queens and had our own home, we started having the young brothers we served in high school for Friday night for dinner. And a couple of brothers would come on Friday night and have dinner with us, and then they would go to the meeting with me, the fellowship meeting on Friday night. This was all through their junior high and high school years they would do this. It was a tremendous building, and it was very, very beneficial to us as a couple and to them growing up. And we're still very close to these saints. Now they both have families, they both have, you know, children, and they're living, you know, they're living in Manhattan and the church life in Manhattan going on and, you know, bearing some. And they have home meetings in their homes, and they're inviting young people to come and college students to come. It's very encouraging. But brothers and sisters, we should have a small group that we call our own so that we can carry out the church life in the small groups. Amen. Well, I think that's good. I've released my burden. So we have at least 16 minutes. How about we pray two by two and the brothers will set up the microphones and you can respond. Amen.